Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
It's The Jeremiah Show. Tearing back the curtain on the hospitality, music, and entertainment industry with insider tips and the hottest global guests in the biz. With Dr. D and special LA personal development commentator Mike Gormley. He's a restaurant and bar fixture, a partner with legendary rock star drummer Mick Fleetwood in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Maui, and he's your radio host. And now, from a race around the sun, Jeremiah Higgins.
Welcome to the Jeremiah Show. Dr. D, how you doing? I know you had a really big weekend. I thought about you a lot because I know you mentioned it to me last week off air, what you and your wife were doing, and you had a lot of volunteers help you. I'm going to let you tell the story, but I thought about you, and I thought about that Harrison Ford movie. Way back, Witness. Did you ever see that where he's out in Amish country?
Oh, and yes.
He builds a barn with all the, everybody comes
barn
from miles
raising,
around.
Yeah.
Barn raising. What happened? You had a similar experience.
Well, we had what we'd call a greenhouse raising.
A greenhouse.
And my wife has been wanting one since we moved here, almost 15 years ago. And we had one back in Phoenix, and it was a metal-framed greenhouse that had actually an evaporative cooler attached to it. And I mean, of course, in Arizona, that's kind of what you want.
What is an evaporative cooler?
An evaporative cooler?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you guys wouldn't know about that here. In Arizona, you needed one years ago. I lived with an evaporative cooler. What it is a box, a large box, almost the size of a refrigeration unit, and on three of the four sides, you have these trays that are filled with what you might consider wood shavings or almost like spaghetti, but it's a fiber that absorbs water. And inside the box is a fan, and that fan draws air in through those panels, and water is run over the top of them, and it drips down so that when the air is pulled in through that by that fan, the air is cooled, and then the air is pushed down through the ductwork of the house. And in this case, it was for the greenhouse, was pushed into the greenhouse to help to keep it cool. Now, it's humid, but that's what you want in a greenhouse. You want that humidity. And then, of course, there's an additional vent on another wall that allows the air to, so that the pressure doesn't build up. You don't pop your greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we had a greenhouse raising this past Sunday. We had two gentlemen who live up on the property where we live. Their names are Connor and Cameron. Every time I think of Cameron, I think
of to give them a little
Ferris Bueller. Bueller. Anyway, one of them is an electrician. The other one is a heavy equipment operator. They're in their late 20s, maybe early 30s. And they came over. Of course, this one guy with his own business, he's got all kinds of tools and things. And we built the four walls and put those together. And then Tuesday night, we all got together to put the roof on. And that was when the winds were blowing.
Oh, yeah. That
was but it actually worked out well. Well, actually, it worked out very well. And, you know, instructions are as good as instructions are sometimes. And we were following them. Don't get me wrong. We weren't a bunch of guys saying, we'll figure it out, you know.
Yeah.
They wanted us to do it one way. And we thought, you know, I think it would be better if we do it this way. And we got the same result. And of course, that's always been my philosophy, as I've probably shared with you before. I'm going to show you how I do this. And then when you get in here, you're going to find your style. But as long as you get the result we want. So we did.
You got a greenhouse.
We have a greenhouse. And I put the bench in last night. It had to be assembled. It's it runs the length of one side of the inside of the greenhouse. Put the slats in, nailed them down, and so forth. And it went virtually flawlessly. We had such a great time putting it together.
Well, can't wait for the fall when you harvest some vegetables.
Oh, we'll probably be harvesting some spring vegetables in the summer.
I know I didn't help build it, but maybe I'll get invited to
No problem. But I will tell you, the one aspect of it, and then I'm going to end right here because we want to get to our guest, is the fact that it was such a wonderful experience. I mean, we could have been doing anything, the three of us. But afterwards, we had dinner. We had them stay over. We barbecued some chicken with some salads and some dessert. And it was just a wonderful little get-together.
Yeah. What a great experience.
Yeah, really was.
Outdoors, you were in the sun all day. You built something.
You got it.
That's
you
awesome.
Got it.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. And thanks, Cameron. And what was the other gentleman's name?
Connor.
Cameron and Connor. Okay, so by the way, Cameron in that movie, I got to tell you that story sometime. I know him and...
There's
some stories there. Okay, I'm really excited about our guest today, and I love his life. I love the life that he has chosen. I love what he represents. Jeffrey B. Hirsch, he's an accomplished brand strategist. He's an educator at my alum, USC. But I wonder if he should add a title to his bio for us here. A humanitarian. I'll tell you why I think that. Jeffrey has chosen a career that is centered and focused on helping others build a better life through his unique insight. He really gets it. And he shares it with the rest of us. How many of us do that daily? You know, just not only think about what we learn and we've... the things that we learn that are helpful and help us live a positive life and stay on track. But then I don't think too often I'm saying, let me turn to Dr. D and let me share that with you. You probably wouldn't want my opinion anyway. But,
how many
people share that, you know, what they learn and really help others?
Yeah.
Jeff really does that here. He practices and teaches others. What I really have kind of come to learn over many years about myself, that so much of my own personal success comes from enthusiasm and trying to understand people, but there's an optimism that I've got to focus on and work on, and a positive attitude. It doesn't always come easy. It's something that I have to work on daily.
I think we all do.
Yeah. Personally, I try not to stare into that proverbial abyss for too long. We all know how that story ends. You either become the abyss or you turn to salt or something like that. I forget how the story goes. I always feel that way. I always don't feel positive, but I try.
Yeah.
It's not always natural. How often is it natural that you, those mornings when you wake up, you know, and you're like a kid almost. You're like, today's going to be a great day.
Yeah.
I feel it. Nothing can get in my way. Nothing can take away this positive attitude. But then you get that one text or that one email, you know, that spins you off course. You shouldn't have looked at it before you had your coffee.
Yeah.
And you looked at your phone. You try to forget it. You try to autocorrect your attitude. Then you go out, get some coffee, somebody steals your spot, the barista doesn't smile at you, takes your money, and the coffee's cold. I mean, there's so many things that can start to pile up very, very quickly, right, to knock you off course. Right now, these days, bills, news, job, you know, a job, having a job, getting jobs, keeping a job, COVID scares. Worry just naturally creeps in, and before you know it, I mean, within an hour of waking up, you can be pretty overwhelmed and pretty stressed. Where'd that childhood wonderment go? What happened?
Yeah.
You know? So how do you create good habits to keep that enthusiasm, that hope, that dedication to living the way you want to? Our very special guest today is going to help us find those answers. He's got a lot of answers. He's got a lot of good tips here. And so I love shows like this. I mean, this is what we try to do on the show is keep it positive. So much can creep in our lives, but we try to keep it upbeat and positive here on the show. So Jeffrey B. Hirsch, accomplished brand strategist and educator. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He's the founder and the president of the Right Brain Studio and JBH, Personal Branding. He serves as an adjunct professor at the Graduate Communications Program at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School. That building was right next to my building. I went to the film school. His business development strategies and new product ideas are responsible for hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue for some of the world's top brands, such as Pepsi, Colgate, Palmolive, General Mills, Johnson & Johnson, Brown-Forman, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, Anheuser-Busch, Walt Disney, and so many others. Hirsch has been quoted on branding and marketing strategy in media outlets such as the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, Los Angeles Business Journal, USA Today, Adweek, Huffington Post. Oh my God, the list goes on. He is accomplished. Okay, so let me welcome to the show, Jeff Hirsch. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the Jeremiah Show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Really looking forward to this conversation. First, though, I got to ask why, you know, you chose to help others through what you've learned and through your throughout your career of over 30 years. Why did you do that? Why did you make that choice? Was there something, you know, monumental in your life, a milestone or a story that you that made you say, "Hey, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm meant to do."
Yes, actually, but it took a while to come to it, and I think it takes a while for everybody to kind of really come to find their calling. It took me quite a long time. First of all, thank you for calling me a humanitarian. That's probably the nicest thing anybody said about me. I never really thought about what I do in that context. And it's interesting. And you know, I'll answer your question in a second. But part of what I like to talk about in personal branding and kind of why people need to do it, other than the obvious that they want to differentiate themselves and be chosen out there in a very competitive world, it's hard for us to see ourselves objectively sometimes, right? This is a really interesting phenomenon. When I work on brands like Bud Light or, I've never worked on Hostess Twinkies, but if I did, you know, here we have this food that probably should not exist, right? That really doesn't do any practical good in the world. But if I'm a marketer and I'm working on it, I'm going to glorify Hostess Twinkies. I'm going to find just the best, the most appealing way to talk about it. But when people talk about themselves, I think their baggage gets in the way. It's hard to be objective, and it almost works in the other way. It's like we kind of degrade ourselves, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm really not that good. I really, you know, can't do what I say I do. And those are stories we tell ourselves that are false, you know. So we kind of have to get to that point where we can look at ourselves objectively, and objectively meaning the good along with the bad. So I'm going to carry this, you know, humanitarian label, at least internally. I don't think I'd be arrogant enough to say that out loud, but it's a really nice way to think of myself. But that's
if you
kind
need
of what
anybody, if you need me to tell anybody for you, I'll do that for you.
Thanks.
Anytime you need, I'll call them up.
I've got a website. You can set up a spot for you there. Yeah. By the testimony. But interesting, like how I came to do what I'm doing now. So I started out in the marketing business, years ago, and always loved marketing. I was, when I grew up, I was the kid who wanted to go to the supermarket with my mom. I loved the commercials on TV. I sat and read the back of the box of cereal in the morning. You know, this is stuff I really, really loved, and never thought about it as something that I might do for a living, or I never thought that I would do anything with popular culture growing up. I thought I'd go into some profession. My dad was an accountant. You know, I'd become an accountant, a lawyer, an engineer, a doctor, one of those things. But none of those things happened. I got into school and I became a film major probably because, I became a film major probably because I didn't know what else to do, and it seemed like fun. And actually, even that, I actually started as a theater major and realized fairly quickly that I don't have that kind of talent. I'm not going to do that. I went to Northwestern, you know, where Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Warren Beatty and, you know, all these amazing people went, and I'm not one of them. So I kind of defaulted into film, and film studies really awakened my interest in pop culture. And I started thinking, you know, this is legitimate. You know, this stuff it's not just all fluff. This is how we live.
Yep.
This is, you know, kind of popular culture provides kind of organizing principles for who we are and how we live, how we relate to the world. And I kind of discovered marketing and advertising, and I went through a master's program there, and I started in the ad agency business and worked in the ad agency business in New York, which was great. Worked on the client side for a while, back in the ad agency business. And in my early 30s, I kind of realized that I wanted to be on my own, that I essentially was a creative person. I was in marketing roles. They referred to us as suits in those days. They probably still do. One agency I worked at, Shiat Day, which is a very famous agency even now, made famous by the Apple work that they've done over the years. Great, great work. And I was lucky enough to work there. And I remember one day I was having a discussion with one of the creative directors. And he was frustrated. I was bringing up strategic points. I don't think the campaign should go this way. I think we should do this instead. And at one point he said, you know, you don't have a vote here. I'm creative and you're not. You don't have a vote. It's interesting. There's a whole department in ad agencies called the creative department, which implies everybody else is not creative, right?
That's inspirational.
Yeah.
Let me go back and do my best work for you now.
Right. I mean, I essentially quit on the spot. It's interesting. And I started my own business. And the whole idea was I want to take creativity and fuse it into the strategic part of the process. And you know, at the time, we didn't really think about strategy as a creative pursuit. Things have really changed. Strategy was something for the suits. It was boring. It was numbers. And then the creatives work their magic. But I think the magic happens early on in the process. And that's why I started the Right Brain Studio, a business I still run. And that's the corporate business where I work with all those big clients that you've mentioned that I've been really blessed to be able to work on over the years. But how did I come to personal branding? Well, I started, so it's a great story. So it's really kind of a mercenary answer to get to a humanitarian place, right? So I was in my, I'm in my 60s now, I was in my early 50s, I'm sorry, my late 50s, and marketing is a young person's game, you know, clear and simple. When I was young, when I started my business in my early 30s, my peers wanted to work with me. I was their friend. I was their peer. I was their own age. They could relate to me. And, you know, I was lucky to build up this great base of clients. But over the years, you know, that those people, they start to go away, they retire, they, you know, whatever happens to them. And you find that you're walking into meetings and everybody's literally 25 to 35 years younger than you, even the senior people. And I was thinking, I don't know how sustainable this business is anymore. You know, it's like I'm going to keep working. You know, there's always going to be work, but can I really grow it the way I'd like to? And the objectively, you know, the answer is no. I mean, people don't want to work with grandpa or their dad or their uncle, right? And, you know, we have to, that's also part of the personal branding, kind of understanding who you are and where you are in life and knowing where, when and where you have to pivot. So I started thinking, you know, what can I do to extend my career? What would kind of help reposition me as, you know, I'll never be that young maverick that I was when I started out, that young crazy guy who does things differently. You know, now I'm somebody else. And I thought, well, I'm at this crossroads. I basically have two choices. On one hand, I could be an old hack. Or on the other hand, maybe I could be a professor, you know, and if I'm a professor, that changes everything. You know, I walk into a room and you know, I teach mm-hmm. and like now your age and your wisdom work for you, right? Your age right. doesn't work against you, it works for you. So I said, I'm going to get a teaching job. And I sat down one day, I wrote emails to my friends and acquaintances who had teaching positions, adjunct positions. I wrote to department heads. Within a day or two, I had a friend of mine, was very fortunate, referred me to the folks at USC, and I got hired almost on the spot. And that was about six years ago. And it was a real game changer for me, and it did work in my existing business, the Right Brain Studio. It did, in fact, work the way I thought it would work. You know, I walk in the room, people looking, who's this old guy? You know, I'm a professor at USC. Oh, really?
Yeah. Carry some weight.
Yeah, so it gives you this credibility, yeah. You know. And a couple of years into it, I realized how much I just love the work. Now, I wasn't all mercenary. I mean, I've always wanted to teach, and you know, I'm not this you know, selfish, greedy kind of person. I always felt like I gave more than I got in life, and I think that's important for everybody to do. Not because of what you expect to get back, but mm-hmm. it's just the right thing to do. So I've kind of always been that way. But when I started doing it, it was just sheer joy to mentor my students.
Yeah.
But I teach graduate school, and you know, the students would come to me and, you know, professor, I'm trying to get a job. Can you help me? My cover letter stinks. Can you look at my resume? And I spend a lot of one-on-one time with my students. It was mm-hmm. way better, of course, when I can actually sit down with them and have a cup of coffee on campus. Now mm-hmm. it's all Zoom. But I got great satisfaction out of that. And I thought, you know, people just need help, especially after COVID. I mean, when COVID hit, I realized that people, you know, I did my little pivot, you know, in my regular career, but I think there's a bigger pivot for me to be had because people just need help. They need the direction. We're so stressed out. Yeah. And it's hard sometimes to find that path for yourself.
You know, right. You can't see it because you're so overwhelmed by daily life. And
exactly. Yeah. There's all the noise, right? Mm-hmm. All the noise going on. And I truly believe that in all my branding work, whether it's for a big brand or whether it's for an individual, that my clients kind of already have their positioning in their head somewhere. It's just up to me to kind of draw it out of them. So I can provide them with the tools to kind of, you know, understand who they really are and always be putting their best foot forward. And when that happens, you develop confidence. And when you have confidence, you know, that too is a game changer. And you know, it's interesting about these intangibles. So if, you know, I'm now engaged. I think you're married. I think are you both married?
I'm not married, no.
I am.
I'm not engaged. okay. I'm single. Okay. And
okay, you know, so
call the radio station if you'd like to go out.
So here's the thing: when you're single, right, and you're not dating anyone, right? It seems like you can't get arrested, right? Or when you have a job and when you're out of a job and you know, I've got no leads. I don't know what to do. I'm just lost. And I I think really affects your attitude when you're with somebody. You know, when you're dating somebody, everybody wants to date you. When you have a job, everybody wants to hire you. I think that comes from the inside out, and it's that you know, that confidence that you have when you walk into a room and you just know things are going to work.
I want to change my last answer. I'm married.
Yeah. I remember.
Can I have you hold on for a minute? We have to take a really quick break. Yeah. I'm sorry to cut you off mid thought there. I think I'm going to learn something here, so I'm anticipating to get through this break very, very quickly. We're talking with Jeffrey Hirsch. He is he's got JBH Personal Branding. Go to that JBHPersonalBranding.com and the RightBrainStudio.com. We're going to be right back with more from Jeffrey Hirsch.
Made out. name's Danny Trejo, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. And on it, I'm talking about my cookbook. It's awesome. Hey, I got a documentary coming out and dropped a record called Satisfy My Soul. Check it out. Trejo's music. Jeremiah, you're loved, Holmes.
Hi, this is Chris Hillman. If you've enjoyed my music with the Birds, the Flying Burrito Brothers, Manassas, Souther Hillman Furay Band, McGuinn Clark and Hillman, Evercall Ready, Rice, Hillman and Peterson, and the Desert Rose Band, that's a lot of music. I hope you'll enjoy my new memoir, Time Between, My Life as a Bird, Burrito Brother, and Beyond. You can find it on my website, chrishillman.com. Enjoy.
Back to the Jeremiah Show. We've got Jeff Hirsch on the show. Jeffrey B. Hirsch, JBH, personalbranding.com, therightbrainstudio.com. Jeff's got a point here for us. I'll let you finish here. When you're down, when you, to set it back up again here, if you just joined us, when you're single, you can't find a date. When you are married, everybody wants you. When you have a job, the world is bigger. You have other opportunities. When you don't have a job, it seems like you're never going to find one. Am I setting that up where we left off, Jeff?
I think that's right, and I was saying that it builds confidence. And by the way, I don't know if you guys are Seinfeld fans, but you remember there was an episode.
Oh, yeah.
George was saying, "Where's the wedding ring?" Right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but yep. it really does work that way. But I was saying that, you know, when you're confident, I believe that's everything. And when people ask me what I do, this is part of my brand, of the personal branding. You know, I don't think that I sell workshops or advice or tips or any of that stuff. I think that I sell confidence. That's who I am. Okay. Mm. So it transcends features and benefits. It transcends skills and talents, right? So I always think, and this is just a branding principle that most of us, I think, in the business buy into now. You have to stand for something bigger, right? Like in the restaurant business, you're a restaurateur. Having great food is the price of entry, right? If you don't have great food, forget it. So you wouldn't start a restaurant and say, "Come to my restaurant, we have great food." You have to, it's an ambiance, it's a feeling, it's an experience, mm-hmm. and it's an emotional connection that you have to make. And that's what I try, with my clients, whether they're corporate or personal, I really try to guide them to that bigger offering.
Well, speaking of restaurants or business or your large clients there, I was reading your blog today, and Maya Angelou, you quote her, and I put this is in my training manuals, and I love this quote that you brought back to attention. And if you don't mind, I wanted to underscore your point right now. She says, "I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel." That's so true, and that's I think what you're saying, right? That you.
I found that quote. It's really amazing. And I think, so I have a mantra. I repeat it in my classes every week on end ad nauseum, that in life, love, politics, and marketing, the facts never matter. right? It's all about feelings that we get from people. So, you know, why are you friends with this person instead of that person? Why do you buy this product instead of that product? It's really probably not about a feature of the product. It's really about how it makes you feel about yourself, right? We say that products are, the products we use are kind of like badges, right? So a guy who drinks Bud Light all the time, you know, that badge is fine when he's out with his boys, but when he has a date, he's not going to order a Bud Light because that's not the badge that he wants to project to his girlfriend. He might order a Kraft. He might order something, you know, Scotch. He might order something else. So, you know, who we are, the brands we use, say something about who we are. So we're always projecting kind of something bigger.
Yeah, there's an ad out there right now that I just think is has done so well that kind of goes to, with that. It's not Anheuser-Busch, so I'm sorry if we're talking about a competing brand, but I think it's Genuine Draft and Miller's Genuine Draft. And it just shows people outside, like the Grand Canyon, and the girls talking about, we went out that today and we sat by the river and we, you know, the sun was shining and the air felt cool and whatever. And then they just open a bottle of Genuine Draft, and I'm like, that makes me feel like I'm there, and that's what I want to be doing right now. Yeah. It's just done so well, and I'm going to see if actually I can find it. We'll play the clip during the commercials here. But I wanted to – so many people have lost work. Jobs in my industry are non-existent right now in restaurant. You know, I'm an advisor for restaurants and open restaurants. They're not open. So that's just one industry. I mean, every industry has been hit hard. So many people out of work. My sister, for one, lived in Santa Barbara, worked for the Four Seasons for 12 years, had to move East Coast to find work, and now is looking back, you know, interviewing constantly. And there's a question. We do have to take a real quick break again, but I'll set it up here. That you talk about, Jeff, and I think this is such a fascinating question. Tell me about yourself. That comes up in interviews. That comes up when you meet new people sometimes. Tell me about yourself. It's such a very basic question to ask, but it's such it has such a complicated answer, you know, depending on what the person wants, and you try to anticipate what the person asking wants. It stumps me when somebody asks me this question personally. Your mind races. Which answer do you want? Which me do I tell them about? We have so many sides to what make up who we are. When we come back, I want to talk about the question, tell me about yourself. And maybe you can help those people out there that are searching for work right now and doing job interviews again for maybe haven't done them for 10 years, you know, have been working, just don't have work now. And that's a great question. Tell me about yourself. We're talking with Jeffrey B. Hirsch. He is the founder of the Right Brain Studio, and we'll be right back after this quick break.
That holy breeze is set to hear all the dead hands.
Hey, it's Tim Stack here, and I just did the Jeremiah Show and had a really, really great time. Check me out at TV's Tim Stack on Twitter.
Reopen your business on the Jeremiah Show with our 30-day complimentary ad program. Radio is a highly effective advertising option for small business. Despite all the changes in the last decade in how Americans access music, AM/FM radio is still the most cost-effective advertising medium today. It's an inexpensive way to reach your existing and potential customers. Radio advertising is less expensive than the cable television advertising, but often has the same reach. The low cost enables allows you to run multiple ads, which gets better results. It's easy to narrowly target listeners. 30 days free with a 3-month commitment. That's 16 complimentary ads for your business. We'll create and record your ad for you, no charge. We'd also like to invite you to be our special segment guest to tell our listeners about your business. Please email us advertiseon@thejeremiahshow.com.
Check it out, you got me mesmerized with your black hair and your fat thighs. Street poetry is my everyday, but yo, I gotta stop when you drop my way. If I was working at the club, you would not pay. Ayo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, a Haitian. Name is Fife Dog from the Zulu Nation. Told you in the jam that we could get down. Now let's knock the boots like the group H-Town. You got BBD all on your bedroom wall, but I'm above the rim and this is how I ball. A gritty little something on the New York street. This is how I represent over this here beat. Talking about you.
Yo, I took you out.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. We are talking with Jeffrey Hirsch. He is a personal branding expert, has dedicated his life to that and to helping others discover their personal brand. It's a fascinating conversation. Go to the website if you'd like, if you're not driving and you're at home right now and you're listening on your computer, jbhpersonalbranding.com. Check that out. And also check out the rightbrainstudio.com. Jeffrey has live or online group sessions to develop the foundations of your personal brand and the blueprint for you to actually execute that plan. So you can join Jeffrey Hirsch for a free workshop. We're going to give this out at every break, but in case you miss it, sign up and go to it's Friday, February 6th, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Welcome back, Jeff. Let's talk about, you know, so many people, like we said before the break, are out of work, looking for work. They're, maybe they find themselves interviewing for a job again. And a lot of, one of the questions that will come up is, tell me about yourself. How do you answer that?
This is a great question. And the reason I started thinking about this was I was in one of my classes teaching one day, and I was actually teaching the students about some interviewing techniques, qualitative research interviewing techniques, right? Nothing to do with personal branding or selling ourselves, but what I do when I want to dig information out of people, when I want insights. And I was saying, I like to start with open-ended questions, like tell me about yourself. Mm-hmm. Just listen to what people say. And this woman quickly in class quickly raised her hand, professor, yes, and said, I was in a job interview the other day, and somebody asked me that question, and I couldn't answer it. I was stumped, you know, just like you were talking about. And I thought about it, and I said, you know, I always know how to answer that question because I understand who I am. I understand my values. I understand my purpose in the world. So if somebody asked me, you know, to tell me about myself, I start talking about how curious I am. Okay, I've always been curious. I love to discover things, you know. I love to read. I've always been interested my whole life about what makes people tick. Okay, so now that I've set that up, now I can start telling stories, you know, which is critical, you know, in an interview, you know, instead of just reciting the facts. I'll get back. I told you about the facts earlier, I don't want to get back to that, but now I can start telling stories about, you know, that, and that's one of the reasons I got into marketing. And, you know, in the first job I had, you know, I was working in Old Forest or Bourbon, and, you know, I was so curious about why people were buying it or not buying it. And then you can start real accomplishments in a broader context. Okay. So this is a discipline, you know, that this is hard because we have to, this is what this process does. It kind of distills down, you know, kind of all the things that are in you, and it gives you, you know, you need to understand what are your values and what's your strongest value, you know, what do you tie into? So, you know, I chose curiosity, but, you know, you might be more into you know, belonging and making people happy, or you might be interested in kind of being a prestige, you know, you might be into prestige, you might be into, you know, just making people happy, any of those things. So one of the first thing I do is kind of drill down and kind of understand the values of the people I'm trying to help. That will help them answer that question. The other thing I try to help them to do is to figure out what's your real purpose in the world. So in other words, not what you're selling, right? So you can't say, you know, so Jeremiah, what do you do? Oh, I have a radio show and a podcast. You know, no, what do you really do? You know, so what I do is, as I said before, I like
what
to
do
say
I do? You have the answer before you move on? What is it?
We don't have a clue.
It'll cost you. You know, we can
okay,
talk
all right. It. Sorry. Yeah, I'm trying to get free advice here.
I'm happy
Shoot,
to do that.
It didn't work, Richard.
Took a shot. Hey.
I don't think you need help, but I'd be happy to help you if you did. But understanding, so that all those things, understanding who you are, what your purpose is in the world, that'll help you get there and answer that question in a succinct way. But most of all, it's... It's a platform, really, for helping to tell stories that are really relevant, yeah, and that can convey the important facts in a way that carries some emotion and build a relationship between you and your target, you and your interviewer, you and whoever you're talking to.
Yeah. So that really makes sense. And so if your advice, just to, if I could recap that, you know, before we go to break here, your advice to the listener, to someone out there right now, is to really look at themselves and spend some time and really determine what is my purpose? What do I want to accomplish? And then you've got tips after that that we'll tease them.
Yeah, I think we should pick up on that, and because we'll take it from there when we come back.
Okay, great. This is great stuff. We're talking with Jeffrey Hirsch. He is he's the founder of JBHPersonalBranding.com. He also founded the RightBrainStudio.com. Go check them both out during the break. We'll be right back.
Top Chef Season 14 winner, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show, so don't go away.
You're listening to The Jeremiah Show with Dr. D. Find all of our past shows on iTunes, podcasts, The Jeremiah Show.
Neighborhood restaurants are the lifeblood of our communities. They are where we come together and make lifelong memories. And right now, they are facing extinction. The COVID-19 crisis threatens to permanently close 85% of independent restaurants. 16 million people risk losing their jobs, disproportionately impacting people of color and single mothers. They are our friends, our neighbors, our farmers, our bartenders, our family. One in four people who lost their jobs during the pandemic were restaurant workers. Without your help, our favorite places to eat will be gone forever. Tell Congress to pass the Restaurants Act now. Visit SaveRestaurants.com.
otra manera, mi rayo de luna, que tú te vayas.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. Jeffrey B. Hirsch is our special guest this hour. TheRightBrainStudio.com. Go check it out. He has helped so many big brands that you are familiar with. Anheuser-Busch, Disney, the list goes on and on. And we were talking, he was giving us some advice here and some, you know, everyone I think out there, I don't think there's a listener out there that hasn't rethought their life a little bit this year.
Oh, yeah.
2020, even 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of the old things weren't that you thought were a priority weren't really a priority. Were you focused? Did you know your purpose? And we were talking about that before we went to break, you know, determining your purpose, taking some time. Jeff recommends that this is where you start. Where do you go after you've discovered your purpose, Jeff?
I'm sorry, where do I go?
What's next? Now I really feel like I've determined what I want, what my purpose is, my intentions. And I love that. You say, start off with intention, start off with...
You should listen to my pod or any of those things. So we get into the execution. They're both hard parts, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of being introspective is hard. Being yeah. objective about yourself.
Looking at yourself, hard. Right.
You know, I'm you know, a so-called branding expert. A couple of years ago, I thought, I don't know. I think things could be going better. And I gathered some of my students and I purposely chose, you know, very young people and a couple of handful of like one or two professionals to come in. I did a little brainstorming session for myself, a little strategy. It's interesting. I showed people kind of what I was doing. Here's what my website looks like. Here are my communications. Here are my PowerPoints. And everybody said, these are my students. They said, nah, terrible, awful. Okay, because they didn't reflect who I was. And this is interesting. I'm an expert, right? Mm-hmm. And I was doing stuff because you need that outside advice. But that's the strategic part.
So I think it's so hard to look at yourself that way for everybody. So even for you, you're an expert in this. You can do it for others easily, right? But for yourself, it's tough.
Well, marketers are the worst. It's the you know the old story of the shoemaker's kids going barefoot, right? We're terrible at this, doing it for ourselves. We're great for doing it for other people, but it's very difficult to do for yourself. But then you have to get to the execution, okay? And the workshop that you mentioned that I'm going to be running. Actually, I'm doing one tomorrow. That's all booked out. Filled up, so we added one on February 6th. I'm going to repeat the same topic. The idea is to, first of all, to act, okay? So I talk a lot about writer's block, but as it relates to life, okay? So writer's block is, you know, if you're a writer, you've had it, you sit down, you look at your blank piece of paper or your screen and nothing comes out. And you're thinking that, I don't have any good idea. I don't have any good ideas. I've never had any good ideas, and I'll never have a good one again. And you get stuck, right?
Go back to bed.
Right. And that, or you go, you know, I go find something to eat, or you
go down to the convenience store, get a six pack of Bud Light, okay?
And, turn on Seinfeld and binge watch Seinfeld.
There you go.
And we're working at home now. It's worse, right? Because we have so many distractions. So, we have to get over that. And I really think that's all fear based. I think that, what if I write this and it stinks? What if I write this and it reveals something about myself and people laugh at me? Right. It's tough being in any kind of creative pursuit, and creating your brand and your image is a creative pursuit. And you're going to worry about making claims and talking about yourself in that way. You know, you leave yourself open. So you have to get over that fear. You just have to start. I think that's the most important part.
Start and
stick with it. And I find my cure for writer's block is just say, I'm doing this now, period. You know, I'm not going for more snacks. I'm not going to the convenience store for the six pack. I'm not doing any of this. This is my time to write. And if nothing happens, that's okay. But I'm going to sit here for the next hour or two. The better thing is to sit there and just write anything. just get started. Okay, so that's kind of an overview of the executional things. But you have to now start thinking about, so if this is what I stand for. Okay, so now, you know, if we went through this process, we would identify, you know, your values. We would identify your purpose in the world. I give people confidence. And we also identify, you know, what we traditionally call your brand positioning, which is what makes you different from everyone else. And I take a very emotional point of view on that, meaning that, you know, again, the facts don't matter. Okay, I don't want to list, you know, I did this, I did that, I went to that school. It's generic, it's boring stuff. It's like, you know, again, in the restaurant business, I've got good food. Well, they got good food, you know, so why should I come to your place? You have to say something, again, that transcends. Right. You have to tell a story about yourself. So, you know, you have to understand what that is. And people make the mistake, a huge mistake I see people making all the time, both on the corporate side and the personal side, is they think that their brand, you know, again, personal or corporate, is just a collection of features and benefits, or when it comes to personal branding, a collection of your, you know, summary of your resume. You know, it's your resume. It's about your skills and talents and accomplishments. Again, that stuff doesn't matter. It's about finding that point of difference. So while we do that, we've got our values, we have our reason for being, we have our emotionally, you know, kind of thought out point of difference. It's really going to kind of, you know, build relationships with people. We have to go execute. So we have to go look at what tools are available to me to go build my brand. And we are very fortunate to be living in the age we live in now, where almost anybody can do this, right? Because we have the internet.
Can I stop you there just for a moment?
Yes.
Because we're talking about building your brand. Now, what if I'm listening and I don't really consider myself a brand? Because, I mean, this is really an important point to think a more successful life and a happier life, is that you do, it doesn't matter who you are, you are a brand. You are, right? You are, you should build this brand, this who you are, this purpose, this intention, and really try to, all day long, push, you know, let people know who you are, right? Is that...
That's exactly
what is it,
right.
If I don't feel like I have a brand, if I feel like I'm, I don't know, you know, I'm, I don't know. I don't want to put down any career or that anything that anybody does.
But
you stay at home, you know, and you, do I have a brand?
But, you know, everybody, so it's a great question. It's also a marketing lesson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when I talk about things about building brands, I sometimes don't put things into the perspective of my consumer, my client, right? My listener, right? I'm talking kind of another language. So this is just kind of a tangent, but you're absolutely right that what we should always be looking to, it's not about us, it's about the people we serve, right? We should speak in their language. So brand is kind of a loaded word. In fact, I was doing some pro bono work for a radio station in LA, a public radio station, and the general manager said, "Stop talking to me about branding. I don't want to be a brand. I want to be everybody's friend." You know, and
it's a brand.
You know, he's right, and he's wrong. Just, you know, being your friend is your brand. So we all have a brand. When you walk into a room, when any of us walk into a room, you know, when we announce our presence, we carry who we are with us. So our brand is who we are, right? And
you want to be compelling and interesting. Everyone wants to be interesting, right? They want to be sought after as a friend, as somebody to talk to at that party. So
correct. And we want to be selective. I mean, so the brand is who you are, but it's kind of like what we want people to see, right? Mm-hmm. And it still has to be authentic and sincere, right? So you don't,
which
need
goes
to know.
Back to point one, purpose, and knowing what that purpose is, right? And what you stand for.
Right. So you don't need to know everything about me. You don't want to know everything about me. You want the information that you want from me. So it's up to me to fashion that to you. So you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, brand is this loaded word, but it's just who you are and how you're going to present yourself to the marketplace out there, right? And, you know, I'm not talking about, so this doesn't really apply to a friendship or something like that. This really applies more to when we're looking for a job, when we want to change our careers, when we want to get promoted or something like that. What am I putting out there? So we have to decide, you know, based on the strategic foundation that we've built, how do I communicate that? So I like to help people say, okay, you've got social media, right? Do you have an Instagram? Like, what are you posting? What are you saying about yourself? Mm-hmm. Do you have a resume? Let me see the resume. Most resumes I see are terrible. They're long lists of facts. I worked here and I did this, right? It doesn't say anything about who that person is, what they added to the organization, what the intangibles are. Those things have to come through because those kind of nuances, those emotional connections, that's really what's going to separate you. So when you're doing your execution, you have to kind of, you know, if I'm doing social, I want to be saying the right things. I don't want to be posting, I have 20 years of experience, or I'm a smart guy, I have a master's from a big school. You know, that nobody cares about that stuff. What really matters, again, going back to Maya Angelou, is the feeling that I get from you. And how do you make me feel about myself? Right. So if you're looking for a job, any kind of job, anybody out there looking for a job, you know, this is a lesson I learned in my career. It's not about the work. It's not about my accomplishments. When I started out, I thought I'm going to, one of my big role models was Jay Shiat, a guy I worked with who started Shiat Day, right? And Jay was this bigger than life, brilliant and arrogant guy. He would tell clients to F off, and he would, you know, say, you know, don't tell me how to make my ads. You know, I don't tell you how to make your toothpaste. You don't tell me how to make my ads. You know, nobody in the business ever talked like that. But he took great pride in, like, we do great work. We get results. It's all about the work. It's all about the work. And when I started out, I wanted to be like Jay. And I didn't intend to be arrogant, but I came off that way. And it's all about the work, all about the work. I found out nobody cares about the work. They care about how I make them feel. Did I make a good decision hiring Jeff to come in here? So if I'm like just about the work, and no, that won't work, and no, you know, no, okay, you try that, but it didn't work, you know, well, pay attention. I'm going to show you how it works. None of that works. I mean, it might work if you're Jay Shiat or Steve Jobs, but I'm not Jay Shiat or Steve Jobs, right? We have to be realistic about ourselves. So I think, you know, finding that touchstone, you know, is really important. So where do I go from here? You know, the execution, it's what we post on social, the cover letters we write. Am I telling, one of the exercises I have people do is I have them show me their cover letter and their resume. And especially in the cover letters, I say, okay, now look at your cover letter and cross out anything that's generic. In other words, anything that anybody else could say. And generally they're left with nothing. Okay. Mm-hmm. I see this with my students all the time. I'm really smart. Yeah. I did this. I get good grades. I'd love to work for you. You know, smart people who do great in my branding class. They do great in my branding class. They can't say anything about them that's remotely original. Right. So I need to steer them to kind of, you know, look at the executional tools that are available to you. And make sure you're communicating the right things and you're communicating with warmth, authenticity, and most of all, emotion. So you can build relationships with people, because that's why things stick. And again, going back to the Maya Angelou, you know, when I take a bite of my Milky Way candy bar, you know, it makes me so happy. It's just a feeling that I have when I eat that. Not that I eat Milky Ways, although I love them. But
I digress.
That's the feeling. It's the same. You know, when you go to a restaurant, right? It's like, I love being here, and yeah. it's a combination of the service, and, you know, it's a combination of everything, the decor, the food. But you build a relationship. People have relationships with restaurants, right? With people in the restaurants, but with the restaurants, with those brands, because it gives, it makes them feel a certain way, and that's why they go there. Mm.
You know, you bring up something interesting too. You used the word arrogance. I had an experience working for another station back in Phoenix in the 80s, early 90s, and I was working with this one gal who was very adamant. I remember once saying to her, so tell me about your Hispanic heritage, and she got really ticked because she said, I am not Hispanic, I am Spanish. Her family was from Spain. It wasn't from any place else, right? Anyway, there was a programmer, a gentleman and his entourage, who came, I don't know if they came up from Mexico, but they spoke Spanish and very fluent. And they would come into the studio well-dressed. I mean, suit and tie. You know, we worked out at the transmitter site, which was like in the South 40, okay? And they come in suit and tie. And my experience, initial observation was, boy, these guys are arrogant. And I was sharing this with her. And of course, she knows the culture because it's similar. And she says, no, you're misunderstanding. That is not arrogance. That's confidence. From your perspective, what would you say is the difference between arrogance and confidence? Because I can sit here, I can hear from Jeremiah about, oh, hey, that was a great show. What a great mix and da-da-da-da-da-da. And I can sit here and say, you know, I'm really good at what I do. And I love what I do.
He says, duh.
But you, that's what he says
when I say that.
Anyway, sorry. But at the same time, you know, it's like I almost want to stop right there. Okay? I want to stop right there. Don't want to go any further because I want to stay humble, if you will. You know, I don't want to get too big for my britches kind of thing because I always know there is always somebody out there who's better than me.
Yeah.
So well, talk to me about the comparison between arrogance and confidence.
It's such a great question. And I'll start out by saying arrogance was me at 35 and confident is me now. Okay? Mm-hmm. So arrogance, I believe, comes from insecurity and, you know, wanting to make up for some perceived, you know, flaw in your personality, something that's missing, right? And, you know, if you feel like you don't have anything, you know, you're going to have to go and make things up and kind of fill up the space, right? It's a feeling, I think, of being uncomfortable with yourself. And, you know, needing to draw attention to yourself. And I think when you're confident, you basically just show up and people get it. I mean, it's really hard to articulate, but it's an internal thing. So I feel now, and this comes with age, this is one of the great benefits of age, right? I try these days, the thing I do, one of the things I could do better, is that, in fact, one of my resolutions for the year is to not think as much and act more. Now, I love thinking is really good, but I think if you're confident, if you've reached a point in your life where you feel you've got some wisdom, you feel you've got something to really contribute, I don't really have to brag about it anymore. It's kind of my accomplishments kind of speak for themselves. I really don't need to talk about it. And I'm going to get further by listening to others. So like they're going to pick up on that. If I'm kind of calm, I'm happy, I'm internally serene, right? That's the confidence. So yeah. You know, how do you get it? I mean, you know, the hard thing is how do you get it? It's not an easy lesson, right? I couldn't take, you know, I swore I wasn't going to mention this guy's name anymore, but, you know, you know, how could I take Donald Trump and turn him from an arrogant, you know, cocky guy to a truly confident guy? That's a process, right?
Sure.
It's easier for some than others. Yeah. But I think just empathy, listening, kind of those things. It's not a focus on yourself. It's focusing on others. So yeah. I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, it kind of does, because what it does is it brings to mind two experiences that I could use those for comparison and contrast. Whenever I would do a piece of production during my early days, say the first 15 or 20 years, and someone would compliment, oh boy, that sounds really great, I would start to go into a description of how I created it. Well, I did this and I did that and I did the other thing.
Yeah.
And what I found was I could kind of feel the room, and it's like, they aren't really interested in all of that garbage. Okay. Yeah. And so as I grew further into that and I would get compliments, I would just, if my mouth was about to talk description, I would stop and thank you.
That's right.
Thank you. Now I, it is one of those things where I actually, it took me about 5 years when I was first getting into the business back in 1979, 1980. And I would do a piece of production, and the general manager, whoever it was, wanted to listen to it. I kid you not, I had to leave the room because I couldn't listen to my own voice. You know, it took me 5 years to stay in the room. I said, excuse me, I'm going to go to the, while you're listening, I'm going to go to the bathroom. That's kind of what's developed. But at the same time, like I said before, I have let clients that I've produced for tell me how they want it done. And then it doesn't turn out the way they want. And I could sit there, well, but you're the one that said blah, blah, blah. And I would say, okay, I'll tell you what, let's redo it. Only here's how I think we should do this. And I would share with them my expertise without saying, well, I'm the expert here. I have 20, 30, 40 years of experience and so on and so forth. Because that doesn't work.
That you're so right about that. And, you know, again, a lot of it is just comfort with yourself. And, you know, again, that goes back to understanding who you are. And I do want to talk about that in a second. But going back to your example, the arrogant Jay Scheid approach, I know what I'm doing and you don't, you know, never, ever works. So it took me a long time to figure this out. I mean, I'm a consultant, right? And I can't make anybody do anything.
Right.
I can only give my advice. So I give my best shot, and I try to make sure that people have heard me, and then I stop. You know, then it's their decision. I've done all I can. And you know, the same, I can just picture that it's me submitting a big report or presentation to a client and having them go through it and chop it up and move this slide here and cross out that word. And like they take this, you know, what I think is a work of art, whether it is or not, and they totally screw it up. And, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. So you do have to kind of step back and just kind of, you know, acknowledge who the real client is and not let your ego get in the way. You don't want to sour the relationship.
You've been quoted as saying you can only give what you have or what we have within us. Can you explain that a little bit? And for a person to have that perception, that self-perception, how would you, that seems to me you would have to be pretty perceptive. How does somebody go about that?
You know, it's...
In your opinion, your advice.
Well, this is the challenge, and this is where we start getting into, I think that most businesses, especially my business, is not the marketing business, but the mental health profession. I think the restaurant business is the mental health profession, right? Which means, you know, which
that explains a lot about me.
Right, I'm a mental health because you know, like your waiter who like congratulates the guest on their choice of wine and tells them how, you know, what a wise job they did in ordering and, you know, all that kind of stuff. They're gonna tip better, right? You're making them feel better about themselves, and that's the mental health business, right? And that's, you know, the example I gave before. The work hardly matters for anything. You know, it's the ante to get into the game. The idea is you want to be able to collaborate with people. You want people to feel good about working with you. And you know, there are the branding marketing stuff that I do is critical. It's important. It helps you build discipline to kind of think that way. But underlying it all really is your personal well-being and how you feel about yourself. And You know, the more self-aware you are, the more introspective you can be, the more comfortable with yourself you can be, just the better you're gonna do in whatever you choose. So I have always been a huge proponent of taking care of myself physically, emotionally. You know,
it's so important.
Self-care.
All the time, but right now especially.
Self-care.
Yeah.
And especially right now. I mean, these are tough times. And, you know, my early clients, you know, it's interesting, when COVID hit, I kind of launched this personal branding business right after COVID. And people, the first clients, they were just in a panic. You know, some of them didn't need to be. Most of them didn't need to be. And that's the other thing about, you know, asking about, you know, these are tough times and people are out of work. And, you know, I think, well, we have 8 million. We have a lot of people unemployed now. The level is really high. May not get better for a while. That's part of just, we need our coping mechanisms. It doesn't make you a bad person, right? We have to stop thinking that. It doesn't make me a bad person. Sometimes there are just things out of our control. We can't do anything about them. What we can do is we can't control who we are. We can control how we communicate with others, and we control where we can apply our energies. So, you know, that's what we can do. And I've been through, this is my third major crisis, right, that I had no control over. The first, I would say, was 9/11, when my business-wise, I mean, it was, you know, horrible event for all our psyches, and it was a terrible time, but my business basically stopped for nearly a year because people, they weren't traveling, everybody was, you know, companies were cutting back on their budgets, only spending what they deem, you know, necessary, whatever that means. And that was really hard to go through. And, but I came out okay. You know, I suffered, but I came out okay. And then 2006, the Great Recession, right? Several months, nothing happening, you know, no, and you start to beat yourself up. It's like, why can't I work? Why isn't the phone ringing? What's going on here? And you can't do that. So this is my third crisis. And, you know, when it came about, I said, okay, I know what's going to happen here. You know, things are really going to suck for about a year, and then they'll get better. If I take that time and really apply it to thinking about what I need to do in my life to kind of make things better, if I can be proactive about the choices that are available to me, I'm going to be a whole lot better off.
Isn't the current phrase to reinvent yourself?
Yeah, that's been a phrase for quite a long time. I'm not sure, you know.
Yourself in the 60s, reinvent yourself in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's rebranded, so let's adopt. I like Jeffrey's.
I don't even know if it's rebranding. I think it's just branding. You know, it's like we are who we are, and we evolve. So, you know, again, I'm in many ways, as I've described to you, I'm not the guy I was when I was 35 or 25. You know, I think I'm a much better and improved and even better looking version, right? But on the other hand, it's still me.
Yeah.
Right. And the things, you know, a lot of the things that were important to me when I was 21, when I was in college, are the same things that are important to me now. You know, the same things drive me, you know, the desire to please people, the desire to contribute something, my love of, you know, music, my love of, you know, reading and, you know, that curiosity, that drive I have that I told you about before. Those are the same. So that's always the trick with branding too. It's like, what are the things that never change? What are the things that are immutable? And what are and then what are the other things that you can do to pivot? That's always a balancing act.
I liked what you said, that studies have shown that money is typically not what makes you happy. You know, what you think is success, it's making money. But really what makes people happy and what should be the focus is being grateful for your family, your friends, your true friends out there. How many do you really have? How many do we all really have? Nurture your relationships and be of service to others. I think all of those things make you feel better. I love all the tips that you've given us this year. I'm going to only ask you one more question, and then I'll let you go. I know you're a very busy man, and we've had a lot of free advice here, and we appreciate that. And
by the way, when he mentioned we were having a guy on talking about branding, I thought, oh, a cattle rancher. Oh, cool. I love talking about being outdoors with the animals.
Well, that's where branding comes from. That's where the term comes from. My cow from your cow. That's how it started.
There you go.
Here's my question. You've been hired now by the United States of America. Here's your biggest client probably today, maybe not. How do you fix this country? What's your advice? You got three things maybe that you could throw out there. You've observed what we've gone through the last few years, and it's been difficult. And how do we set it all straight? How do we find our purpose as together?
Oh, wow. Well, I don't know.
Well, let me ask you an easy question. What's the meaning of life? Go with Jeremiah's question.
Who are you?
Who are you? Yes.
All those are tough questions. I know you can handle this one. You got it there. I can feel it.
Look, a lot of it was what now President Biden was talking about yesterday, and it's really about understanding Look, I've traveled extensively throughout the country, throughout the world, and one of the things that I do for the Right Brain Studio is I go out and I run focus groups and interviews and things like that, and I go all over the place. So not this summer, obviously, summer before and summer before that, I found myself in the South a lot, in the deep South. I was in Mississippi, I was in Texas, I was in Alabama, I was in all kinds of places running focus groups. And people come in the room, and they're not like me, right? They're not like me at all. And they start talking about politics and how evil, certain politicians are, who I happen to admire. And my initial reaction is, I hate these people. I hate these people. I want to be out of here. I don't like them. And about 5 minutes later, when we're just talking about stuff, it's like, oh, nice guy. We've got a lot in common, actually. It's really interesting. And, we've gotten so polarized. We don't look at each other as human beings and people anymore. We're looking at each other, through these labels, which is blue state, red state, or Republican or Democrat or whatever it is. And it's entirely the wrong way of looking at things. So the reset has to happen when we really understand. Now, these conflicts in our country go back to the founding of the Union, really, right? If you read about the founding fathers and how this formed, all these compromises and, maybe this North and the South should have been different countries, starting out. I mean, they're just different values and different needs, just based on what they could put out. One was agricultural, one was more industrial, but these have carried over into modern times. And we need to, really look at each other as human beings. We have to be empathetic, and we have to look at our common goals and values. And, how you do that, I don't know. I mean, I think setting a personal example is probably the right place to start. And hopefully, Biden will do that. I hope he does that and sets a good example. But
well, all of us setting a personal example, like you said, you initially, your knee jerk is to, you're different, I'm this, you're that, but to listen, you realize you have a lot in common. It's really kind of our theme here, to listen more, that's really the best way to learn about others, and then you'll find out you have more in common than you don't.
Yeah.
I hope that happens, and I think that's good advice, Jeff. Yeah. Well, it's been such a great hour talking to you, and I appreciate your time, but I also appreciate your wisdom and sharing it with all of us. And I wanted to say thank you, before I forget, to, you're a fan, we talked about this off air, Connie and Chris Hellman sent me a beautiful little care package from, after their interview. How classy, thank you. And I got a great hat. I got some great CDs and a tapestry and all this great stuff. So I just wanted to, I know they listen every week. They tell me they do. So thank you, Connie. Thank you, Chris Hillman. And Jeff, you're a big fan of Chris. This is your chance to say hello to Chris.
I had a look under the radio. I was wearing because I have one of my favorite t-shirts is a black Flying Burritos t-shirt, which I wear often. And love that band, listen to them all the time. And you know, hi, Chris, I saw you at McCabe's. Great show. Love the Birds, love all that music. Yeah. It's what
great,
I grew up
great,
in.
Great stuff.
But now I'm a half a degree, now I'm a half a degree of separation from the Birds. Made my day.
Jeff, do you have any final words to your students, to your school, to your you know, anybody out there?
Your fans.
Your fans. You get the final words here. My friend,
my fans. I guess, you know, again, I want to just go back to that issue of taking care of yourself. I really think that's the best place to start, because if you don't care about yourself, no one else will. I mean, you know, it has to start there. It's not an arrogant thing. It's not a selfish thing. It's not a narcissistic thing. I mean, you really need to take care of yourself to be the best person. I think all this branding stuff, you know, if you're not healthy mentally, if you're not healthy physically, it's going to be a lot tougher to do. So, you know, the more you can kind of look at yourself, be objective, improve, you know, where you need to, you know, it's just, you know, we know it's a lifelong struggle. It never stops, but it's fun and it's a great journey. And, you know, there's a great feeling of accomplishment with change, and people fear change. You know, everybody talks about innovation. I want to be an innovator, but really what they like is comfort, right? So my advice, I guess, is, you know, be comfortable with yourself, but get out of your comfort zone and push yourself to kind of greater things.
Yeah. Beautifully said. I love it. Jeff or Jeffrey B. Hirsch, check him out on the Right Brain. Let me make sure I give it out perfectly correctly. I've only said it 50,000 times, but you know me, Dr. D, I'll probably give it out wrong. Well, you give out your website. I just dropped all my papers.
I have two websites. Right One Brain, is corporate business, and it's therightbrainstudio.com. You have to put the in, therightbrainstudio.
That's what I didn't want to get wrong. I knew there was a the there.
And the other is my personal branding website, JBH Personal Branding. That's my initials, Jeffrey Bruce Hirsch, JBH personalbranding.com.
You got a workshop coming up February.
Coming up.
All right. We're going to give out all the information of the commercials and have a great rest of your day, Jeff. Thank you so much. Everybody.
John, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, and it was really fun.
Yeah, we agree. Communicate, listen more, and evolve. Everybody have a great week.
Truck stops and river guides, gas stations of the past, following a ghost, following a ghost. I pray the water wash away the memories and the cost. Carry me south to the sea, along with your memories of me. We are born in the water, and I will return to thee. Colored lights and birthday cakes, candle wax on paper plates. Breathe the water, oh. Hush by, hush by.
Hi, this is comedian Maj Chobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show on AM 1290 KZSB Santa Barbara. Listen, man.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at hjlrestaurantadvisors.com. Check out our website at thejeremiahshow.com. We are on iTunes and SoundCloud. Please subscribe on iTunes, podcast The Jeremiah Show. Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify, The Jeremiah Show. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the airwaves at all.
Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dr. D. Dugan's Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening to The Jeremiah Show with Dr. D. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at ShowJeremiah on Twitter and Instagram. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and sound engineer Richard Dr. D. Dugan. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Evolve.
Red and yellow and on fire, and the clouds would catch the colors of red. Red and yellow and on fire, and the clouds would catch the colors of red. The most beautiful sky has a red and fire, and the clouds would catch the colors of red.